freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Hewitt has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN, Seattle, 710sports.com. We are spread out across the country, but with a gigantic show for everybody today. Brock in Bristol, Connecticut, at the home of the worldwide leader, ESPN. I am here right on the shores of Lake Washington. Seahawks training camp. Brock Turf's out there doing his thing. Turf the dog, getting ready for the day. It's baseball's trade deadline, or as I like to say, my favorite day in the entire sports calendar. Jerry DePoto's going to join us in a half hour. We got Bobby Wagner at 8 o'clock. We got John Morosi and Jeff Passan. We are locked and loaded after a huge Mariners win last night.
Yeah, that was awfully fun.
Man, the tension last night was insane. That eighth inning, man, first of all, I mean, it's right from the jump. You can see the Paxton's got his good stuff, and he's throwing 97, which is probably a bigger deal than even the win last night. The fact that James Paxton is healthy and throwing like an ace here down the stretch, that's a really good sign.
And I'll tell you what, man, that stash game's strong.
You like the stash.
I don't think the stash is going anywhere. There's probably not going to be stashes on maple trees
now.
Out there
in
Maple Grove, right? They're going to put those funny glasses with the mustaches on the maple trees out there because he was just humming.
I don't know if I approve of the stash, but like whatever.
Pack stash, it's real.
As long as he does what he does last night, throw 97 instead of 93 right from the jump, that'll work for me. But Gerrit Cole was filthy. I mean, he is one of the best in the game. He's throwing 98 to 100. He does it easily. Like it's not even, there's no effort. And they found a way to scratch and claw. And finally, in the seventh inning, they break through, get a couple of runs. And then you get the tension. The tension of the eighth of watching Colome, man. Oh, my God. I mean, I'm poor Wendell. I'm sitting there on my couch by myself because Heather went out. And Wendell's just, he can't even sit with me. He has to, like, get up and leave because he can just feel the tension emanating, right, as I'm watching the game. And finally, Colome versus Bregman. This is probably, I thought, the biggest moment of the game.
Here's the stretch. The runners go. The 3-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Alex Colome with maybe his biggest strikeout of the 2018 season. Bregman strikes out, and that will retire the side.
What a game from him, man.
That little turkey, man. That little turkey that won the All-Star MVP over Gene Segura. That little turkey that's been a nemesis at times to the Mariners. Put him on the list with Cole Calhoun and some of the others. And of course, they're grinding the bats. They're the defending World Series champs. Even though they're down Altuve, they're down Correa. You know, they've got a will to win. And Reddick with a good at-bat. And they get a couple guys on. And Colome's pitch count's going way up. Right? He's up to 26 pitches before that one. That was number 26. This time the Mariners get it. This time the Mariners deliver. This time the Mariners get a win in the series and what? Bring this thing down to three games. Three games behind the Houston Astros in the American League West.
Yeah,
as the calendar turns August 1 tomorrow.
The overall element of where you're at in the standings is one thing, but obviously got to keep pace with Oakland, who blows out, who are they playing? Whoever they are.
The Jays.
The Jays. They blew them out yesterday 10-0. So whatever. What I liked about it was A, Paxton. I mean, you need him to be James Paxton if you're going to succeed. And B, that they could get back to playing their style of baseball in a playoff kind of environment yesterday at Safeco and find a way to beat the Rays and do it their way by scratching out a couple of runs, right? They lump them and cluster them together the way they've done all year long until this recent losing streak. They find a way to get through the middle innings with Colome and some really good pitching. And then when it's said and done, Diaz comes in and just blows your doors off and ends the game. Like, that's been Mariner baseball, and that's what you hope will play up down the stretch and into the playoffs.
Yeah, and that is maddening and frightening and scary and not easy. Nothing you said there is easy about it. It's been a very thin margin. If it's not a one-run game, it's a two-run game basically all season long. And Eddie Diaz gets save number 40. You see those numbers last night, by the way? Save number 40 ties J.J. Putz for the third most in Mariners franchise history. Fernando's number one, Sockey number two. And by all accounts, they keep this thing going in any reasonable measure. He's going to blow by those guys, but it's just never, you know, nothing is ever easy for these guys, and yet you're right, they just deliver. And that tension, I love your text last night, your tweet last night. You're right, that baseball tension because it is just so slow. Football, boom, basketball, back and forth, hockey, you can see the things developing, right? And they all try to, but baseball, its story arc is so slow, yet it is so incredible when it's meaningful in the late innings like it was last night. Gosh, it just gets you, though.
Isn't
it awesome? My stomach
oh, it's so
was
hard.
In knots.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah, it's just miserable. When the game is over, instead of being excited and you know pumping your fist, you're just like emotionally drained, like, oh, I just got to go to bed. I don't have any energy left. But that's the fun of it, man, and that's why, you know, everybody wants each
what was
sport.
That noise?
Everybody wants every sport to be the same, and they're not. And that's the great joy of it, man. Baseball is so different from football, which is so different from hockey and basketball and everything else. I love that about baseball, and I'll tell you, Brock, that win was enough. That win was enough for me to dig back and find something that we haven't played in quite some time, because it hasn't really felt appropriate. But after watching that win last night, after watching Colomay get his guy Bregman in the eighth, after watching Diaz come in and blow some smoke in the ninth, after getting to be three back of the Astros, who have now lost five straight, nearly blowing Astros Rant's mind, yeah, I'm ready for some of this right here.
Oh.
I'm ready. There it is. Are you ready for looking on a baseball?
What you looking at? I'm sorry, I'm just Dan in the hallway studio here at ESPN.
Oh, are you dancing like I am? I got a camera guy here from NFL Network making fun of me.
Quick note.
What the heck is this guy doing?
Saulcast, Lydia, can you get come on up a baseball ready?
Right.
And I almost refused because I said, that's not the title of the song.
Because it's, what, get on up baseball?
Come on, yeah, I mean, it's like the
whatever,
one.
Lydia. I'm trying
come on up a baseball.
I'm trying to host a radio show here, and you're nitpicking words? Come on. Did you not know what I meant? You don't even believe he's saying baseball, so what do you care?
You should have just said, give me your song, Lydia. This is actually Lydia's song.
I was trying to remember the name of the band that sings it, but I couldn't remember, so I had to just go with the title of the song. And Lydia didn't even reply to me because she didn't like the way I spelled it or something.
Well, I searched for Come On Up a Baseball
right.
in our system, and I couldn't find it. It was
all
really
right.
weird.
All right. Anyway, nice day for the Mariners. Topped off by that win, but that's not it, obviously. They make a couple of deals yesterday. Acquire Zach Duke, the lefty, Adam Warren, a righty. They don't really give up a ton. International slot money, Chase DeYoung, and a young player. I'm not going to lose sleep over losing Chase DeYoung. He's no Mark Lowe, Brock.
Bernard Longer's mad. He's really upset.
Obviously. But look, they're not overwhelming moves, right?
Nope. They're a righty. They're a lefty. They're continue to add specialists, and you throw Tui into that mix, and man, look how much that bullpen just turns over. It really is remarkable. Jerry's going to be with us, Jerry DePoto, the Mariners general manager, a little over 20 minutes. Look at the amount of bullpen turnover like in the last year and a half. What you had kind of going, and then what you expected to be going into this season, and then ultimately how it's morphed, and now how it even morphs more. I mean, half that bullpen basically is going to turn over. Now, the caboose doesn't, and that kind of sets the table. And Colomay, you know, his just stuff the last month has been phenomenal. What, 13, I think, scoreless innings now. But, you know, you get your caboose and you get your eighth inning guy, and then now here you go, Jerry. Here you go, Scott. Here you go. Here's every iteration and machination you could ever want out of your bullpen. This is what they were working on in their database 20 years ago in Tucson, sipping on wine. Like, what if we had this, and what if we had this righty, and what if we had this lefty, and what if we had another righty, and what if we had another lefty? So they're going to have all sorts of options down in that bullpen. I don't know if any of those guys, Mike, are any of them known as dominant swing and miss stuff guys?
No. Yeah, I mean, these are not the best of the best. They didn't have enough prospects to go get the best of the best. But what you hope you can do is continue to use the eighth and ninth with Colomay and Diaz. Mike, and I don't know this, but I wonder whether or not Nicasio will end up on the DL again at some point to try to get right, because he just doesn't look like the guy that they acquired. And they're not going to DFA him for everybody who wants to. He's still got another year at big money left on his deal. Yep. But with Duke, you get an actual reliable lefty to get lefties out. Oddly, Pazos has a reverse split, so he's been worse against lefties. And Warren does have some of that wipeout righty stuff. He's just caught in the best bullpen ever, and the Yankees have too many players and they need room on their roster, and so unfortunately for him, he's got to go. Right?
So out of the three guys that they have added, Tui from St. Louis, Warren from the Yankees, and Duke yesterday from Minnesota, he's been everywhere. I think his ninth team now. Out of those three guys, who's the most impactful?
I'm guessing it'll be Warren, but we'll wait and see. I mean, you know, I don't know that any of them are high impact. It's more the guys that they're replacing, you know, so that you're not throwing Casey Lawrence or Chasen Bradford or some of the guys that have been at the back, you know, bottom of your pen, it's trying to raise that level. And when you need them in some of these tight games late, hopefully they can come in and get the one out you need. 7-10, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Teasing me there. It's trade deadline day. You know I'm already excited. It's my favorite day in the sports calendar. Mariners didn't exactly wait. They were busy making moves yesterday. Acquired two relief pitchers. Lefty Zach Duke comes from Minnesota, and righty Adam Warren arrives for the Yankees. In exchange, they give up Chase DeYoung, international slot money, and another young player. Look, these are not overwhelming moves from Jerry DePoto, obviously. I don't see him going out and getting a Bryce Harper, but I do still think he would like to add a center fielder. The market is not exactly great there, and Jerry DePoto's been playing the market. Starting pitching is too expensive or not available, fine. Don't give it up for a player that you don't like all that much. Wait, see if somebody will come available after August 1st in the waiver period. And that's just been Jerry DePoto's style. Aggressive, but not overly so. And so while I like what he did yesterday, it doesn't bowl me over. Looking forward to talking to Jerry about what's next coming up here in 15 minutes.
Yeah, and what is next is still rumblings about possible outfielders and center fielders. What is next is that waiver claim, a different mark of the changes in the month of August, an area that they took advantage of in getting Mike Leake last year and will probably be aggressive with some of the cash they have moving ahead into this season. So some moves to be made, and in doing so earlier in the day and making all those moves and finish off at night, a pretty solid evening for the Mariners.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Dominant performance from James Paxton yesterday. 7 shutout innings against Houston, his return from the DL. Mariners win it 2-0 over the Astros. Edwin Diaz, great, picks up his 40th save, becoming just the 4th Mariners closer to have that many in a season. He's still got 2 months left to go. Colomé with a really intense 8th inning. He gets himself out of self-created trouble. And in the meantime, they just scratched and clawed. Gerrit Cole was awesome. He was playoff caliber, ace awesome. And the Mariners found a way to wait him out. When he made a mistake, they pounced on it in the form of a Nelson Cruz 2-run double. It's a really good, solid playoff-style win for the Mariners.
That's where the 36,000 in there, man. You can look at all of these numbers. That's what I start to love. That's what I start to feel in this city. The weather is beautiful. The ballpark is electric. There's 36,000 out there. You get your lefty back on the hill. We had a little conversation about that one-game playoff yesterday. Is it going to be Marco, who's been consistent all season long, or is it going to be Paxton, who, when he's on, his stuff is flat-out electric and dominant, one of the best in all of baseball? Let's hope we have that debate. Let's hope here over August and September, over the next 10 starts or so for each of those guys, that both of them continue on this pace. And if they do, you're going to probably be where you are, right in the thick of this wild-card race, if not pushing for the division with an Astros team that's lost 5 in a row. And you're getting them at a good time, minus Altuve and Correa.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Yeah, we don't always have a ton of guests on this show, but we sure do today. As we've mentioned a few times, Jerry DePoto will join us at 7:30, 15 minutes from now. Bobby Wagner at 8 o'clock, John Morosi at 8:30, Jeff Passan at 9 o'clock. And it's just that great time in the sports calendar where the trade deadline is here, the Mariners are in the thick of things, and the Seahawks continue to get things going out at training camp today. Brock, I know you were out here yesterday observing, taking notes, and ready for some takeaways just after Bobby, but things have been very, very smooth and tranquil, I would say, so far here at this training camp.
Yeah, and Richard Sherman makes some news down in the Bay Area yesterday as he takes a shot at Jerry Jones. And we saw some of that Sherman video on the field as well, still being talked about, I think, on a national level. Can I just tell you, with a need to know, a really cool story as I was walking here in the courtyard at ESPN. And, Mike, you know that area. We broadcast a show at one time, yep, with tents out there. And I was walking by, and this guy stopped me. He's like, "Oh, you out here for the college football seminar?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, let me just tell you, I got the DirecTV package this year. And I've had it in the past to watch my Steelers and Redskins." He said, "I'll tell you what, though. I'm going to be watching my new favorite player this season." And I was like, "Oh, who's that?" He says, "Shaquem Griffin." And I just kind of got goosebumps, and I do, just sharing that story, that impact, just a reminder. As good as he's been the last couple days, and a pick and a fumble, there are going to be a lot of people rooting for him, and I hope he continues to be the story of training camp, a really positive one, as you said, for one that's about a week in and going the right direction for the Seahawks.
All right, those are three things you need to know every single morning. We do that right at 7:10. I like this text. Salk, you should have seen the Yankees fans' replies on Twitter when news of the Adam Warren trade broke. They were all debating which top prospects from the Mariners they would be getting in return. Instead, they got a little bit of international slot money. There's nothing more arrogant than a Yankee fan, man. And then put that same Yankee fan on Twitter where they don't have to actually, like, you know, take responsibility for anything they say. There's nothing like it, man. Oh, we're trading Adam Warren? Well, I assume Kyle Lewis and Evan White. Like, no, he's a reliever. Why don't you chill out, Yankees fan? Let's talk to the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. And the price is only going to go up.
Every morning at 7:15.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus. A wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
How are we doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
You got to talk to Brandon Marshall yesterday.
Yeah, how about that?
How was he?
He's great.
Yeah?
Really is. Like him a lot because, yeah, one, he, you know, grew up in Pittsburgh, so I know him so well. He's
obviously
very articulate. He is a borderline Hall of Fame wide receiver when you really look at his numbers through the years. I don't know if he's going to make it, but, again, he's going to be under the in the conversation, and I think he can be a good addition to the team if he's healthy.
I mean, it's a pretty high compliment for Russell Wilson when you asked him about his new quarterback, huh?
Yeah, said he's third, one of the top three quarterbacks in the league. I know at the OTAs and that when he first signed, he was talking top five, but now after being with him and watching him, he has him top three.
And I know you were busy doing your show from under the canopy out there. The music's playing and everything else, and sometimes it can be a little hard to see the field. Did you get a chance to see Russell's shots down the field? I mean, yesterday was like a play action, shot play, deep throws, numerous, just unbelievable, you know, touch passes down the field. You get a chance to watch some of what Russell's doing this camp?
It's kind of hard with the vantage point that I'm at trying to watch it. I mean, I was able to watch when they were coming down toward us. I was able to see some big plays, and I think what you can see is that if they can get the running game going, there's so much more speed that's there at the receiver position. I was going through the list the other day, and you know they probably have like about seven or eight guys that are 4.42 or faster, you know, two track guys. And yeah, one thing when they were coming down, I was seeing a lot of passes going downfield and big catches.
Jermaine Ifedi, a little work at right guard yesterday?
Yeah, that was kind of curious. I guess what it comes down to, Mike Solari trying to experiment a little bit to find a way to say, okay, who are the five best guys on this offensive line, and if it causes the ability to try to, you know, have somebody else at tackle. But I thought that was kind of curious because, you know, you figure with Ifedi, he's probably the guy that needs the most work in trying to improve because he had some of the biggest struggles last year. So kind of interesting to have him over at guard.
Rumblings about Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. Does that make any sense?
No, I think it's just, I mean, if it's a minimum deal or something like that, I don't think it's something that they're interested, it sounds like, but I don't know if it really is going to manufacture too much because when you look at it, I mean, they're okay at the cornerback position. I mean, Trey Flowers looks real good. Nico Thorpe's having a good camp. Byron Maxwell looks strong. So if it's one, it's just going to be a cheap signing.
You know, everyone has sort of taken their cheap shots at the XFL and the return of this other organization, but they do seem to keep hiring some legitimate football people, and now it sounds like Jim Caldwell and John Fox are going to be a part of it.
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about the American Alliance of American Football or the XFL?
I think that's the XFL.
Yeah, I don't have much hope for the XFL. I really don't. I think the Alliance of American Football looks so strong right now because it seems to have almost NFL tie-ins. I mean, they've hired, you know, NFL coaches. They've hired NFL general managers. They seem to have the backing of the National Football League, not financially, but the support there. And, you know, I guess if what you're looking at with the XFL, I mean, that's still 2020. How many players are going to be available that can really make a difference?
Yeah, you know, you had said a week ago or so that to not worry about these rookies and holdouts, so there's just some offset language and everything else, and you're proven largely right. Everybody in camp but one, Sam Darnold, gets his deal yesterday. When will this end with Roquan Smith and the Bears?
You have to think it's got to end here in the next couple of days because, I mean, it's not going to change the equation. I mean, the one thing that they ended up doing, they made a compromise for Sam Darnold saying, okay, we'll pay your $20 million your signing bonus with the next 15 days, and we're not going to do anything with the other guarantees in your contract. if you do get suspended. So he did get a little bit of language on that one. I think the Bears are dug in a little bit more in that sense. But, you know, the offset stuff, Darnold didn't get. But if it's the same agent, so you'd have to think, you know, with some kind of a little adjustment, they'll get something done, and that holdout will end. And then we'll be down to, what, four holdouts.
See anything else that jumped out to you yesterday here at practice?
CJ Procise looking pretty good. I thought that was encouraging. So, I mean, certainly Shaquem Griffin looked really good with that one interception.
Dude, he picked off Russell, huh?
He picked off Russell, yeah.
So what's so is he going to be real this year? I mean, I think we all think he can play special teams.
Yeah.
The assumption is he's going to make the team. Are we going to get to see him play some defense, you think, as a rookie?
Too early to say. I think we have to, you know, first take a look and see how he goes in the games and all that stuff. I mean, it's possible, but I don't think it's going to be anything in the first month or so. I think it's going to be something more by injury or whatever, because that's not a deep group of linebackers right now. And so, you know, he's going to be pretty close to some of the next man up type of things if there are going to be injuries.
We talked to Jaron Reed yesterday, who really seems like he's grown up. It just seemed like a very comfortable in his skin and happy here talking to us, which was really fun. How much of a leadership and how much of an impact do you think he can make this year?
I think a lot. I mean, because when you get, particularly on the defensive line and with the limited number of practices and that, it really takes maybe 2-3 years to really fit in, and particularly with this defense. And so I think he's really going to step forward. The biggest thing that he needs to do is make sure he gets, I mean, the run defense gets better, and I think it will, and I think he's going to be one of the reasons for that. I think it's great that he's working next to a veteran like, you know, a good veteran like Tom Johnson. I think that could really help him out, too. Mm. But I really think that this is going to be a big year for him. He could have a breakout season.
Wild card time.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card. Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
Would you rather be 6 inches taller or 20 pounds of muscle heavier?
I think I'd rather be the 6 inches taller because, I mean, just to have that kind of big stature and all that stuff. I mean, if you have that 20 extra pounds of muscle, then what you have to try to do is work so hard to maintain that muscle, and I don't have the time to be able to do it. I mean, here with my frail body, I can't even get out to do the 30-minute jog or even a 30-minute workout. So it's like if I have the extra 20 pounds of muscle, yeah, it's going to cost too much work and not enough time.
How tall are you, JC, at the combine? Back to the wall, heels together, toes up. How tall are you?
Last time I measured, it was like 5'10 and a half.
5'10 and a half.
There, so I'm probably like about 5'10 or 5'9 and a half right now.
You think you're shrinking? Going the wrong direction.
Yeah.
John, thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Every day with John Clayton, of course, at 7:15. Yeah, I'll take the height, Brock. I have often said it's not that I'm overweight. It's that I'm just not tall enough.
That's right.
I have the
right
weight.
Can you imagine your life at 6'4"?
Yes.
You're 5'10", right?
Like Wassel, I can imagine it every day.
Can you really?
Yes.
Have you just walked around 6'4", well, 6'5"?
I can imagine it very.
And you get so much more respect. Oh. You get a higher paying job. It'd be amazing.
Everything about it would be awesome. Oh, well. All right. I could be the GM of the Mariners like Jerry DePoto is right now. We're going to talk to him on one of his biggest days of the year. He'll take a quick 10 minutes to chat with a couple of chumps like us. Don't go anywhere. You'll want to hear it next. I'm Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
You'll enjoy and can connect with our club right here. You just don't like baseball. This is what we've talked about, bringing the Pacific Northwest. We have a chance to do something special here this summer. Our guys feel it, and the people in the ballpark certainly feel it as well.
Jerry DePoto going to join us here in just a moment. Talk a little Mariners baseball as the trade deadline is nearly upon us. 1 o'clock this afternoon will be the trade deadline. C-Rodge filling in for Kyle today. Curtis and Shannon and I are going to be getting together for a little baseball conversation today in and around the trade deadline. We'll throw that on video and put that out later in the afternoon. Brock, looking forward to that.
That trifecta.
Multiple platforms. That's what we're about.
We are. We're a multi-platform attack. Jerry DePoto, as you know, busy yesterday, acquires a right-handed and left-handed reliever. Adam Warren from the Yankees. Zach Duke comes in from Minnesota. And so we'll talk to him about those guys. And also, what's left to do? He said yesterday that a starter is not likely, Brock. I tend to agree, obviously. I mean, he said it. But I just don't think the market's there, right? And do you really want him to overpay for a starter that is not going to be a significant upgrade?
Right.
Probably and of
the four,
not.
And of the four or five guys and some of the names you see floating around out there, how much of them or how many of them are significantly better than Erasmo's numbers? And we can, and I know people will gawk at that and laugh at that and say, Erasmo Ramirez, come on, that can't be your guy. But when you actually study the numbers and you take a look at it, the one thing, you know, I think where Jerry is, I think I would hope for you Mariner fans and sports fans look at and give him some benefit of the doubt is evaluating pitching and evaluating Mike Leake and what he's going to be here and Wade LeBlanc and what he's going to be here and Marco Gonzalez and what he's going to be here and even Erasmo in the second half of last year when he got that opportunity and really take it and ran with it. So is someone better, that much better than Erasmo, that you're going to make a move for and be willing to give something up for?
The tough part, though.
Yeah, in a market that I think is demanding some assets for premium starting pitching.
Agreed on all of that. The center fielder thing, though, I mean, you got to see if there's a way to find a bat. And unfortunately for Jerry, that's just not what the market is yielding right now. There just aren't a lot of players who have those types of skills at the with the teams that are potential sellers. You know, you kind of look through that list and, you know, Cameron Maben doesn't exactly get you too excited. He's okay. Is he a significant upgrade over Heredia? I don't know. You know, we talked about Adam Jones. I actually have come around and I think that's a pretty good idea. I just don't think Baltimore is going to trade him. And so, you know, maybe that's not a real possibility. And then as you kind of look through the rest of the names in center field, none of them really get you too excited, or they're young players that the teams just aren't interested in dealing.
Right. Does Jerry really, by the way, have 10 minutes for us this morning?
I doubt it. I mean, he's already late. I don't think it's a surprise. Of course he doesn't have 10 minutes for us.
I would think of any day, and I appreciate the effort, and I think he agreed to do it. But I'm going to guess from a prioritization standpoint, like these two knuckleheads on the radio, I've already got to talk with this station once a week, every week anyway during the season. And now you think I got 8, 9, 10 minutes on this day, on this morning, where you can only imagine his phone is just continuing to blow up and buzz.
He said something. Hey, Lydia, can you play the sound you played this morning of Jerry talking about Adam Warren? Because when he mentions that this was not the first time they had wanted to acquire Adam Warren, I think that's an important way of looking at Jerry Dipoto. A guy who, is constantly talking to everyone, is constantly involved in a lot of different conversations. He doesn't just pick up we have Jerry. Even better than playing sound from Jerry, we can just talk to him. Hi, Jerry. Good morning. No, we don't quite have Jerry. We almost have Jerry, Brock. It's like having Jerry, but not quite. All right, Jerry, good morning. How are you?
I am good, fellas. What's going on?
Happy trade deadline day. Is this? I consider this to be my favorite day of the sports year from afar. What is it like as a general manager?
This is a new experience for me, starting the day out on the radio rather than returning the texts and calls that came overnight. But it's like you'd expect. It's chaotic and... It's a lot of fun. You don't sleep a lot. You think of different ways that you can improve your club and fortify for that last 2 months, and hopefully we're doing a good job of it.
Hey, if you got to Ian Rappaport us and, like, get off the phone with us because you got another call to get to, please don't feel bad about it, because I know these minutes and seconds are pretty precious in the day. How much more work is there to get done over the next 4 or 5 hours, Jerry? Is there still opportunity to add?
Well, I think that's just it. It's we want to be open to opportunity. I said yesterday I wouldn't anticipate anything happening, but frankly, I'm not going to be surprised if it does. We have a couple of lines in the water on different ways we feel like we can add to the club and maybe get a little bit more versatile, particularly on the position player side. I'd be surprised if we do anything else with the pitching staff. So that's our focus today. We've only got a few hours left, and we'll find out how much damage we can do.
Well, what is the process like behind the scenes? I mean, are you just in contact with GMs? Are your people under you working with the assistant GMs and other scouts and people across baseball? What is that process like?
We are all involved. So we huddle up daily. We worked, obviously, through the weekend. We were convening over at Safeco and having meetings. And trying to spin them off into organization building meetings and going through each of our departments and just generally best practices. Have we gotten it right? Where have we gone wrong? Because there is some quiet time between the phone calls, especially on the weekend. But as it works out, the last 3 or 4 days usually get pretty heavy. Our baseball leadership group, Jeff Kingston, Justin Hollander, Tom Allison, Joe Boringer, our scouting directors, our player managers and personnel people are all here in Seattle. And we split it up, you know, especially myself, Justin, and Jeff. We split up, and Tommy, split up the phone calls and check in with other clubs. Typically, when it gets down to this time, the calls are coming directly general manager to general manager. But when there's so much activity, you get a lot of action, even externally. We're running through scouts in the field to the manager in the clubhouse.
does Erasmo play a role in this trade deadline situation with his availability looking like he's coming back?
Oh, absolutely. We've been, you know, Erasmo, we've had a pretty good feel for where Erasmo is, and we're looking forward to bringing him back. His versatility brings a lot to our pitching staff, and it gives us options. It also gives us the ability to stretch that pitching staff out during at least the month of August if we feel the need. Although I will say that if you look at the off days in the schedule, the off days as they're built in are likely to give us a little bit more of a break than in a normal year.
Jerry, have you talked about any star or impact players? I know people get excited about some of the really big names, and it came out yesterday maybe Bryce Harper is actually going to be available. Have you had conversations about some of those all-star level, impact level players?
Oh, we've had conversation about many what I would reference it household names, but I think when you're talking about guys like Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, I'll be as frank as I can, without absolutely blowing up our 2018, which is part of the reason why we're in this situation shopping at the deadline, outside of breaking up our 2018 club, there's really no reasonable way we can afford those players from a player capital. So, you know, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to identify where we are, and we have to make good decisions for this club, understanding that this group of players is what got us here, and we trust them.
You've also had some of the flexibility with payroll because of the Cano suspension, et cetera. Is that still helpful as the deadline here comes closer?
I think it's been hugely helpful. If you consider our trade deadline having started back in May, I mean, we've picked up Alex Colomay and Denard Span, and who have both been really good for us, and in some ways have made this season so much easier to navigate. Sam Tuiviala, Zach Duke, and Adam Warren, that's five additions in season. I feel like we've effectively rebuilt or fortified the middle of our bullpen right up to the eighth inning and leading to Eddie Diaz. And Denard Span really has been a lifesaver in the outfield and what he's provided us in lineup depth.
Hey, Jerry, speaking of honesty, I felt like, you know, Felix was as raw, vulnerable, honest, whatever way you want to kind of describe him after a really rough start over the weekend. Have you been able to have kind of a face-to-face conversation with him? And how much time, I guess, over the next few hours as you get ready, you know, for this deadline to pass, is also having Felix where he's at today and projecting what he can still do this season?
We talk about it every day. And to answer the question, no, I have not spoken with Felix. We are otherwise consumed by this trade deadline. I was not in Anaheim. I was here in Seattle. And Felix didn't pitch well. And that's obviously he owned up to it, and I think that's admirable. Scott has talked about it publicly. And right now we're going to go with status quo. And we have the opportunity to make a difference. We're not going to go out and acquire a household name in the starting rotation. It's just not in our reach. And we've relied on Felix for many years to get us to this point, and we're going to rely on him to do that on Thursday. And once we get through Thursday, we'll discuss it again.
When you look at that starting pitcher market, it seems like you've been able over the last couple of years to find a little something with guys who don't have huge velocity but seem to be adept at that pitchability side of things, the Gonzalez's and Leakes of the world, even Wade LeBlanc. Are those guys potentially out there maybe even after August 1st?
Yeah, they're always out there after August 1st. And like you saw last year, the other element of accessible player that's out there after August 1st is the guy that might have a little bit more, I guess, bone left on his contract that might not fit for the club he's playing with. So, you know, the market doesn't close at 1 o'clock this afternoon. The next market opens, although it's a little bit more restrictive and tougher to navigate.
Hey, last thing. Oh, yeah, sorry, Mike. Last thing for me here, Jerry, is last night, eighth inning. Does your stomach still turn? Mike makes these guttural, yeah. Like, yells. I'm in a hotel room in Connecticut. Like, I'm pacing the hotel room. Like, eighth inning last night, pitch 24, 25, 26. Is your stomach turning?
It is. You know, I got to give a ton of credit for Josh Reddick putting on the kind of a bat he did starting off that inning against Alex. And 10 pitches is – and to win the 10-pitch battle, I think, was what set the tone for the inning. Because Alex – truly was throwing the ball well. We just couldn't get them to to swing through it as often as he typically does. But I frankly, over the last month and a half or so, the last 12, 13 innings, Alex has been as good as he's ever been. He's been excellent. And I thought he threw the ball really well last night, but you can't help but as the season reaches its high points and you're playing the best team in our division and the wins matter when you're on the line like that in the eighth inning. That's why you have Alex Colomé. That's why you have guys who have been through these situations and have come through them successfully, and I thought he held together extremely well.
Playoff-style atmosphere last night?
Yeah, I mean, that's not the first time we've experienced it, especially at Safeco. We've, from our East Coast trip back in New York and Boston to this series with the Astros to, frankly, the two homestands prior to the All-Star break, we have felt many different instances of playoff type or style atmosphere, and it's been great. I think it really fires the guys up, and it gives us an idea of how our players will perform in those big moments.
Jerry, we appreciate you taking 10 minutes on a busy day like today. As I said, my favorite day in the sports calendar. I think they should not let you guys make trades for the week leading up to it so that they all come down today. I know it would be exhausting for you, but think about how fun it would be for fans if all of these trades all came down in like a three-hour span. Regardless, enjoy it. We all enjoy watching it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go. There's Jerry DePoto, Mariners general manager. Don't you think that'd be fun, Brock? They don't let him make trades for a week leading up to this?
I don't know if I could handle that.
It'd be awesome. All of a sudden, you just get this explosion of activity right at the deadline?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday, you just can't even, like, leave the room.
No.
I mean, Brent Stecker tweeted out, like, hey, Jerry, I'm driving home. Please don't do anything in the next
but
hour.
He can't help it. He's busy making deals, man. I love it. Fun. I just absolutely love it. That's great.
And Felix going to get the ball Thursday, by the way.
That's what it sounded like. Shot at it. Man, yep. We're going to talk to Scott Service tomorrow morning. We'll be over at Safeco. I'll be interested to hear some of the rationale behind that at 9:30 tomorrow. I would not do it, personally. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't feel like you're ready yet with Erasmo and you can't make the roster moves and it's a short-term thing. Maybe. But I personally, I wouldn't be able to let him make another start. I'd find a little DL situation or something to try to work around that. But there you go. There's Jerry DePoto saying that they will probably not add a starter. He doesn't envision that. Probably not a household name, but that there very well could be another bat that would add some flexibility, probably in the outfield or maybe as a utility infielder. We'll wait and see how things come down today. All right. Coors Light's Blue 42 is next. Brock, a few minutes of football and a big baseball day next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U-corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
All right, three good football questions with Brock every day, 7:45. Big day today. Jerry DePoto already been with us. Bobby Wagner is going to be here in about 10, 15 minutes to chat with him. I don't know if he's officially the captain of this team, Brock, but he sure has taken on a lot of that role. So looking forward to talking to Bobby. He'll be one of our bigger interviews at camp here coming up in 10 minutes. Right now, though, start with question number one. As we talk about this offensive line, Mike Solari, new offensive line coach, spoke yesterday. He is being counted on to be a difference maker, to be different than Tom Cable and some of the problems that this line has had the last few years. What are you seeing so far?
Yeah, I think the one biggest, most distinct area on the field, as I watched it yesterday, is there's no more fights. And I went down, I actually almost jogged down to watch the one-on-one pass rush drill, which, as you know, and I tell you all the time, if you're out there at the berm, you got to watch it. In fact, I think that drill alone may be the difference between 9-7 and 7-9, both from a pass rush standpoint and who grows and develops, and an O-line standpoint and just how competent they are over years past. But there's no fighting. Ethan Postick started to mix it up with Nas Jones just a little bit, and in comes Solari, like, no, we're not doing that. We're not going to go down this road of like, I'm going to show how tough I am, and I'm going to show how bad I am, and I'm going to go fight somebody. You don't do it during a game. So why would we ever practice that? A whole lot more of that Tony Dungy principle that I was around, and you just don't see it. Doesn't mean the intensity can't be there and isn't there. But, yeah, Posick and Nas started to do one of those where last year, seemingly on every single practice, there was a fight in that drill. It wasted time. It wasted reps. And you can't do it in a game, so why in the world would you practice it? Yeah, one very distinct difference between this O-line coach and his predecessor.
It's an interesting point. I wonder how much it has to do with the coach and how much it has to do with the Michael Bennett's of the world who seem to be wanting to fight on every single play, but
little bit of both.
Yeah, probably. Question number two. If you've been down here to practice, you've seen Pete just running around like a madman, as energized as you've ever seen him. What? Why?
Because he gets to teach. You know, and there were four or five times yesterday at practice, he's running in to tell Trey Flowers, or he's running in to talk to Shaquem Griffin, or he's running in, you know, to talk to a wide receiver on his route. I mean, he's just running into those drills. I mean, he's just bouncing around because he gets to teach again. And not that, you know, that he was not always, he's always been a teacher, but when you've got Earl and Cam and Bobby and KJ and Richard and everybody that's been there and done it and not only heard every messaging point in a team meeting room, Mike, you know, they know how to play the game, too. They understand leverage. They understand technique. They're understanding the ins and outs of the scheme at a very high level. You got young people that are just flying around, and this practice has been so fast, and there's been tremendous energy. Yeah, Pete is matching that, and I think his opportunity to once again really teach at the basic fundamental level has been energizing to him as well.
All right, question number three. Brock, there's some players on this team I know you're impressed with, some others that maybe you have some concerns with. If you're going to be eating crow this year, who's going to make you eat it?
I hope it's Nas Jones, because I hope what I've seen over these 4 days of practice and even in the OTAs and mini camps, I hope it continues to show up on a daily basis, on a series-by-series, game-by-game basis, because there's times he's unblockable. And yesterday in one-on-one with Justin Britt, the most competent and capable inside pass rush guy for the Seahawks, he made him look silly. And Justin Britt, you can kind of see it like, wow, all right, that's a grown man right there with big-time quickness. You know, Nas didn't do it consistently at UNC. He passed the eye test. He's everything that you kind of want in measurables, but there just wasn't that dominant level in college, so I wasn't particularly high on that pick or that move. He flashed last year in significant ways, a season that was derailed by an injury. If that guy can put it together and be available, Mike, he has got a skill set that is pretty darn unique on that D-line.
Love it. There you go. Coors Light's Blue 42 every day. I don't know whether you've been negative about him.
I haven't been negative, but I wasn't like, wow, this guy is going to come in and be a huge difference maker.
Last year. I mean, when he was first drafted. But, I mean, last year, I think he was, he already showed us quite a bit. And if there was crow to be eaten, I feel like you've already taken a bite.
And if you want Aaron Donald, like you want explosion and you want disruption and turnovers, you know, he is a guy that's got a whole lot of that twitch and size on the D-line that you're looking for. After a good start.
I really like him. Plus, he's a really good dude. And every time we've talked to him, he just, you know, he's got that voice.
All right.
Bobby Wagner, talking about voices, has become perhaps the lead voice of the Seattle Seahawks. Richard Sherman is gone. Michael Bennett is gone. Cam Chancellor is essentially gone. And the guy that seems to be speaking for the team more than anyone else is Bobby Wagner. And it's interesting to see him go out there and dominate on the practice field and then immediately head over to do his job as the player rep, almost speaking to the media. It's just not something that's been associated with him before. I'm curious how he's growing into it and what we can expect from Bobby this year. So we'll talk to him coming up next here on Brock and Salk.